Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Today we are happy to have you on this Doctrine of Truth broadcast. I'm your host, Bishop Poole, and we would like to have you express yourself and be a part of this program today. We are using the approach of grassroots discussion between out of two or three witnesses. The Bible said, let the word be established, as well as we'd like to hear your comments, because God created all of us in families. He loved families, and he's a very good businessman, excellent businessman. He believed in multiplication, and he believed in the truth. We will only like to have truth, because when two or three people speaking the same thing, and it feels good and has been tried, then we know we have the truth. So out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Bible says, let your word be established. Let his word be established. So if you'd like to be a caller today to call in, you can dial 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. And we're discussing today Jesus, our high priest. Jesus, our high priest. And we like to read from the scripture on the Bible concerning Jesus, the high priest. He's an officer always. And Peter has said that in 1 Peter 2 and 5, he said, you also, a living stone, an ark built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to the office of spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through praises through Jesus Christ. We are priests only through God, because we have accepted Jesus Christ, and we would like to also establish that we're looking today at the position, the order of how the church itself stands in the place of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Now, God's Son is not here. He came. He did the work. So that's the office of a priest. He does the work. He stands before, and he stands between God and man. He's a mediator between God and man. And the position between a pastor and a priest, we find here to explore the church development, that we look now at the relationship between the concept of a priest and an elder. A priest is generally defined as a person who performs religious ceremonies, you know, function in the pastoral or ministerial office. It is understood that an ordained body or a higher religious authority must invest in the priest with authority to perform these functions. All right, you know, like water baptism, marriage, christening the babies, burying the dead, giving the sacrament of communion, running the church. He has the ability to accept people into the body of Christ, you know, to say that they are, sins are forgiven. So the priest carries the same, and the elders carry the same duties, But Jesus Christ, we're following the Christ teaching. He is our high priest, because after the order of Melchizedek, after the order of Aaron, Abraham met Melchizedek after the slaughter, and Abraham gave him a tenth part of all that he owned. And this priest promised Abraham that he would have so much land and followers as the stars of the sky. Now, this same order, this same priest, he is our high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus is our high priest. after the order of Melchizedek. So we have a priest that, through Jesus Christ now, you're able to confess your sins, you're able to be forgiveness of sin, you're able to get healing because Jesus came and performed all these duties. He was the Son of God, without father, without mother. After all the Melchizedek, this priest, according to Hebrews, he was without father, without mother, beginning of days or end of days. And he is considered, and he is our high priest, because no one can come before God to give sacrifices, to ask God to forgive people, but a priest. And that's the principle that's been laid down through the priesthood. So Jesus came through the same office down through 42 generations, and he's able. That's why all Christians are able to stand before God, to come before God and confess our faults to God. And the church, when Jesus died and rose from the dead, he set the church in order. He set a church in order, but he did not put priests there. He had pastors, evangelists, apostles, teachers there in the office of the church. You have elders there. So the office of the church now, the priesthood office, has been handed down to the fivefold ministry of the church. And so the difference between the pastor and a priest, they do the same office. And you'll find that a priest himself, the concept of a priest as a mediator between God and man, is totally Old Testament concept. It was necessary only until the life and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who is now the church great high priest. You find that in Hebrews 2:17-1, 7:1-26, and the only mediator between God and man. That's at 1 Timothy 2:5, Hebrews 8:9. So Jesus is our high priest. We can confess to him, we can talk to him, and you must not let that slide. You must not let that look at the world and say, oh, I don't have no one I can talk to. I don't have one. But through Jesus Christ now, once you accept him, God knows all those that are his through because of Jesus Christ. He's standing in a session for us. He reaches out to us. He stands for you. And, you know, it's a great thing to have someone to stand for you. He said, I'll be with you always. You know, people have pets. That's why pets are so very important to many people in life. They don't speak as well as, not at all, because they don't have vocal cords like we have, but they're there. They're there by their side. Companionship, they're there. The pet is there. You know, he make little nods or whatever. But they're there. Jesus said, I'll be with you always. But he also, from time to time, he'll give you one word. But we do have to. We're not robots. We're not pre-programmed. He allowed us freedom of speech. What we learn through learning of him and learning for him. So we have a caller. And caller, you just press 1. And you're on the line. You want to share what Jesus has done for you as being a priest. All right, caller, you on the line. Thank you for calling. All right, we have one caller. Okay, now, remember, yes, go ahead. Yes? Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Good morning. How are you?
Pastor Felix Brown. How you doing?
Okay. Great man of God. All right. And you? We're talking about the priesthood. All right. Go ahead.
I really enjoy the topic and the clarity of the understanding that Jesus is the high priest. We don't have no one standing as mediator no more because we have Jesus.
Yes.
And we go to him ourselves.
Okay. All right. Have you ever... You considered, you know, him as such in your life, everything that come up in your life?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I consider him that when I was going through some heavy trials and tribulations in my life where my flesh wanted to just say, I'm not going to try to walk this walk no more, but the spirit man in me say, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world, because the Lord has done so much for me. So I had to block out the winds that was blowing in my life and think about where God brought me from. And if he did that, he can do whatever I was going through at the time. He can bring me even further, and he has done such. And for that, I will never second guess again.
God bless you. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling.
Yes, sir, and God bless you.
God bless you. Yes, we have a high priest, and we thank the caller for showing how, you know, Jesus stood in intercession for him. That's one thing a priest does, if you remember. He intercede. His major, major position that he stands in, he stands for us. He stood for us because the priests themselves, they stand for mankind. They stand in between God and man. And when they stand in between God and man, they take the sacrifices. The old priests used to take the sacrifices for people, and he take it in burnt offerings. He take the sin offerings. He take the heave offerings. Whatever offerings had to be given to God, it had to go through the priest. That's what God had set up. And we can't deviate from that principle. We can't deviate from that principle. There are many, many today have other gods and men that standing in, but have they been ordained to be, you know, these other religions? Do they have, are these men and women, priests or God? Have they stood, are they able to go before God, the creator of all mankind, of heaven and earth, me and you, I mean the God that created everything, can they go before the God, you know, the God, the creator, and present your sins and present your life, your faults to him? To him is very critical to understand that, you know, the whole issue, the whole world, is about disobedience, about man did not want to. Man was tricked, actually. You need to correct that. He was tricked by saying that he can use his authority and he can learn how to make choices the same as God has. But see, God has not given us choices. He given us a way to go, a straight way to go, that we can have eternal life, that we can have joy, because of the enemies that the human race have. Human race have enemies because they don't like God. These fallen angels don't like God. They left their place, and they lost their place for life, and they're being punished. But here they're in a temporary state here on earth. So the same method that they use against Adam and Eve in the garden, they're still now using that same method here on earth, deception, by telling men and women you can make your own choices and you can think better than God, the creator. So God himself had set up a system whereby to come down to man's understanding, he put a man between him and the people. And this is what the priest is all about. God has granted mercy. He has granted goodness, but he set this principle down through the line. So when God's son came in, he could have changed it. God's son could have changed it and changed the whole system, the whole method, but he didn't. He stepped into the system and made it better and easier. You know, you don't have to get a bull or a heifer or a goat or a pigeon anymore to come before God and present your case before God. And the priest might be sick that day. He might be on vacation. Something had changed with the whole, you know, situation in the structure, the organization. But we have a high priest, have an unchangeable priesthood. So now, when you come to Christ and you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are accepting God's Son, which will stand with you. Not only while you're here, he guides you through his word and direction, but he said, okay, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a better place for you. And I have the Holy Spirit here, the Spirit of God here, He's going to lead and guide you in the Word of God and the church. Now, the church is standing in the offices that Jesus had set up. That Jesus had set up these offices that made it better for mankind, and through Christ, the church itself can come before God through Jesus Christ. Jesus set up the church, but the priesthood, the priest's office is not a part of the church. The priest's office is not a part of the church, because Jesus is our high priest. He's our high priest. So with the church, and Jesus shed it with his blood, he set up the whole office, the whole organization structure, and what he did, he said, he put men in office. He set officers in the church. But these elders, now Ephesians 4, he said that, Ephesians 4 and 9, now this is he that ascended up, what is it that, but he also first descended into the lower part of the earth. Now Jesus did a complete job. He went to the lower part of the earth, those that died during the flood, during the time before he died on the cross. He went into the lower part of the earth. There are many people thinking and saying today, oh, you know, my parents still living, my parents this, that. But, you know, it was no such thing as a new heaven until Jesus died. It was no such thing as a place called paradise. In here, Christ, he went to paradise, and it presented himself. He preached to those in those areas, all those, gave everybody a chance. Everybody got a chance. If you don't hear it now, during that time, you know, you got to hear it today. That's what the church is about. But during that time, he, the first one, he descended after he died on the cross, and he preached to those that was caught in Gehenna. He preached to those that were caught down in paradise. And after he finished speaking and preaching to them, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above heavens, that he may fulfill all things. He went after he left hell and opened up a gulf between the believers and the non-believers. He left a position there between the believers and non-believers. So there's no other place now. When you leave here today, you have to also accept the church. You have to accept the church. And once you accept the church as your Lord and Savior, and you must hear also the gospel. So what we have, Ephesians 4 and 11 say, he gave some apostles. He gave some apostles. He gave some prophets. He gave some evangelists. He gave some teachers and pastors. So it was no there, I did not read and did not see in this translation, that he gave some priests, because he is the high priest. So it's very important that today the church people need to understand, and the world need to understand that Jesus is not only he's our high priest, but he have left authority unto the church to what? For those that want to come and present them sins, to confess their faults, to live. And God the Father, he will accept them through the priesthood office of Jesus Christ. Now, the authority of the priest in the Old Testament, old word, the word is unexplained alternately, but it is translated in the New Testament. It gives the authority. The New Testament deleted many different congregational ministry, but it also taught that the governmental and ruling ministry of the church lies in the hands of the elders, the bishops, but not the priests. The church doesn't have a priest. If you're going back and say you have a priest in your church and you saying that you are under Jesus Christ, then there's an error. The old doctrine, the old way has been changed to new. Jesus is our new. We're under a new and better covenant. Everything is in Jesus Christ. He is the sacrificial lamb. and we accept him as our Lord and Savior. He gave his life as a sacrifice. You know, the priest, they would come and take your sacrifice, and they would give it and burn it and give it to God. But here, God himself, through Jesus Christ, have accepted Christ's suffering, Christ's death for you. He's interceding for you. He's interceding for you. Okay, those that would like to call, we think we'd like to have you to input maybe something you have heard, and you can call 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. Now, Jesus took his unchangeable office. His office will always be there. The same way you say, well, I came out of the other areas of other parts of the world, and I came out of a doctrine where I always talked to man. Well, you know, the church itself, that's why it's very important to make sure you're in the right ministry under the right man of God. This man has been called by God, you know, the calling of God on people's lives, and they've been proven out through other men that's been walking the walk and studying and praying and seeking God. And like, let's say one of the great apostles, Apostle Paul, he was a Pharisee. In that time of religion, he taught, he knew many languages. He had the old doctrine of the Old Testament doctrine of Moses and the law. But when he met Jesus Christ, the authority God had given Jesus Christ, he had to humble himself. And he knew right then when he heard his voice and talked with him that, you know, Jesus had all the authority in heaven and in earth. But what Paul did, his name was Saul, in the 9th chapter of Acts, 8th chapter of Acts, that he had to, in the 7th chapter of Acts, the first part of the life of Paul, he realized he had to submit himself and go present himself to those that was in the ministry before him, those that was in the church before him, the believers that was before him, to get approved. You know, elders, those that elders, they should live by faith, you know, trusting and leaning and depend on God and have a relationship with God. So when the time comes to present anybody to God, you know, regardless of what the problem is, the situation that they're going through, their background, their education, their economic condition, you know, their health condition, they can rightly come to a man, a woman of God, and they begin to talk to that person, and he keep in total confidence of what they're saying. Then they can pray together, and he can present them through the throne of God. And in the book of James, the 5th chapter, and we'll share with you the 5th chapter, James, and notice what the church has been given. The Bible has been given the church. The 5th chapter of James, it was stating that if you have, you know, if there are any fault, if any problems, you know, they bring it towards the church, and the church will go, come before God through the elders, through the elders. The elder is a seasoned person that's been walking with God for years, and the organization and the religious body of elders that have been in the ministry before that person, what they experience. Now, notice that James said in the 5th chapter, say, is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Now, even we're talking about Christians, those that have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, because they can pray to Christ, you know, and ask Christ for relief or some type of word and encouragement. He said, let him pray. We have the right, you as a Christian have a right to communicate. You have a right to talk to God through Jesus Christ. That, you know, like we're using this telephone line, and technology here through now have the right that you know, I've been given the right Blog Talk Radio to go on the air, and you have the right through Blog Talk Radio to call in. We can talk. So as a Christian, you have the right. You accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have the right through Christ. He is your telephone line. And that's why you said, in Jesus Christ, through the model prayer, our Father, which art in heaven. And it's very important that, you know, you have to say in heaven, you know, as it is in earth, you know, thy kingdom come. You know, you can come, Lord, come to me. You know, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in Jesus Christ, James 5 and 13 say, let him, if any cheerful, let him sing songs. Let him sing songs. And, it, you know, that's the division of songs, P-S-A-L-M-S. You know, the songs, like the division, the first song, the 23rd song. He said, let him sing psalms. So if you want to, but Paul even said, sing songs and spiritual songs. Okay, in James the 14th verse says, 5 and 14, if any among you sick. Now, here's the difference. There were some areas that the priest could work in according to sickness and disease. There were some areas. But here, it says, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him. Now, elders of the church been proven. Hebrews says that by faith, the elders receive a good report. So they live and walk in confidence of God. They live and walk with the confidence and desires of God. So an elder of a church, a well-seasoned person of a church, has been proven and proven out that they walk with God through what? The body of Christ. The body of Christ. Through the organization and the elders that have been before them, the Presbyterian board had agreed and assigned and said, okay, we're going to permit this person to baptize people in water. We're going to permit this person to give communion service. We're going to permit him to or her to marry or bury the dead. Under the authority of the organization, he has full authority to pray for people, to pray for people. He's standing in the office of an elder, not a priest. He's standing in the office of an elder, and he can pray over him, anointing him with oil, anointing with oil. And that's the difference between sprinkling water and anointing with oil. And the Bible speaks of the olive oil, and the oil, the spirit signifies sometimes as the oil of God. But here they're using olive oil. Even in the Old Testament, they had certain oil, but they put ointment with it. But here, just the anointing with oil. The oil represents the spirit of God, the anointing of God on their life. And you can take the oil, they've been prayed over, been consecrated oil, olive oil, and take that oil. And the priest have his own, the elder has his oil. The church has oil that been consecrated on and prayed over, more than just bringing it in off the shelf from a store and set it down and pray one prayer. Notice this oil has been consecrated, been prayed over time and time again, and be used strictly for, not for salads, not for any cooking in, no. But this oil has really been set aside and strictly used for the anointing of the sick, praying over for the sick, and for the use of God's service, you know, anoint people with oil. And this is why it's biblical and it's scripture, and it's the elder's job you find here. He was saying that, and the Lord shall raise him up. The Lord shall raise him up. I witnessed to this. I was called, Miss Moevers. We went and prayed over a gentleman. He'd been sick for a long time. He requested prayer. And it's very important sometimes to ask people they want prayer. You know, that helps them. They know that God will. Sometimes you have to minister the word to them and show them that Jesus believes in healing. God believed in healing. Jesus went about praying for the sick all manner of diseases, those that are oppressed mentally and physically, through prayer. Through prayer. It's very important to know that a church doctrine that you evolve in, believe in healing. Believe in healing. Our high priest, he was beat. Jesus was beat. He was whipped for the healing, for our healing. By his stripes we are healed. So that part of the priesthood office, our priest was whipped. He was bruised for our iniquity. So our high priest went through the suffering for us. So the suffering and things that you're going through, you can present yourself. You know, ask the elders, you want prayer. And they will anoint you with oil. And they will pray the prayer of faith. And the Lord shall raise him up. Now, sometimes it might not happen right away. You know, you don't know what people are experiencing after we begin to pray. And the prayer is a prayer of faith. It's a prayer of faith. A prayer that the elders have confidence in. That what you're saying to God. You know, number one, you know this man, he's been proven out, he's been seasoned, he loved the Lord, he's dedicated to the Lord, and he's walking and talking God, and he always gave you a good, encouraging word, regardless of any situation. And when he began to pray, this man is praying in faith. He's praying by what he knows, what he understands, and what he lives. So when he began to pray, the prayer of faith, the Bible said, the Lord, you know, we are just instruments. I'm just an instrument on the air today. I'm just an instrument through the technology, carrying God's word, spreading his word. But here, just an instrument, and God began to raise him up through his son, Jesus Christ. The transmitting line of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit began to raise him up, raise him up. Back to the gentleman in the story, we prayed over him, the elders, we prayed over him, and we prayed and we said, and we talked with him. He got up, he said, well, let me up. He got up out of the bed. We all helped him to sit in the chair. Then, you know, we began to try to share light conversation, positive conversation, and next thing we know, we really didn't, we're comprehending what was happening. He said, well, I'm going to sit in the front room, in the early, you know, in the upper part of the house, and you know, to see you all out the door. And he sat there a while in his bedroom, and we all sat and talked. And you know, he began to get cheerful and things like that. And so we began to go. We said, okay, now we're not going to hold you any longer. You know, it's nice when you come to visit people, but you want to have respect to the home that you're involved in. And we said, okay. So he began to walk us to the door without us really comprehending, understanding. And till we got outside, and he was standing to the front part of the house, in the entrance of the house, you know, and we all say goodbye and got in the car. And as we began to pull off, the Spirit of God hit both of us. And we looked back, and here he's standing in the doorway of his front door, waving, saying goodbye, see you later. And we all began to rejoice, you know, as we drove off. And that's when we began to understand what the Bible says, that the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. God will raise him up. People, sometimes it takes one day, sometimes 2 hours, maybe 1 minute. You know, the faith, God began to work. God began to work. And God began to raise him up. And the 15th verse says, now watch this now. You know, prayer for the sick. Yes, prayer for the sick. But watch this now. This is going into the priesthood job that God had given the church, and the power that the elders have. And those of you that planning on pastoring and that you have, and you be going to churches, but they not aware of this revelation, it's so important. So there are some people that walk in the street. Some have turned their back on the church. They've been really exiled because of something that happened. And they have fallen short. And they will find themselves in problems and situations and not aware that, you know, 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sin, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. And through Jesus Christ and through the church, we'll find that the church is able. God had planned it. He has set it aside for those that have committed sins. And notice this now, the 16th verse of the 5th chapter of James. He said, confess your transgression one to another. Back at the 15th verse, pray, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed, that's transgression, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. You know, there are people today that are sick, but they're sin sick, their conscience, the past. And no more than that, the enemy is using that to bring this kind of situation in their life, keep them bound down, keep them, they don't have a confidence anymore that they can live a life for Christ. They have lost confidence. They have lost true understanding about what the church was all about. Maybe they have given false information, and they had to really live a pointless life and a perfect life all their days. But, you know, sickness caused a problem. A bankruptcy caused a problem. Divorce caused a problem. Betrayal caused a problem. Financial difficulties had created a problem. And the things that they start going through, it was no help. There's no hope. And, you know, many baby Christians have fallen into that pitfall. And they refuse to go back to the church because there are certain errors, certain elders and certain ministries would not accept them back when they had fallen. But this is why we're under grace. Grace is where you can fall down and get up. You can fall down and get up. You can fall down, you can get up. You can fall down. Proverbs said, "Man, a righteous man can fall 7 times, but that's not, he's not planning to fall. He's not looking out to count the fall. Though things that happened in his life, and you know, it's very pitiful and very sorrowful. You never know where the enemy planted pitfalls, and you never know when people are turning their back and using you and planting you. But you know, it can happen. But God can pick you up. God can turn you around and put you on a solid foundation. So the church, we need to look at the church again. We need to look at the church again. Jesus set up the church. He's our high priest. So if they have committed sins, they will be forgiven. They will be forgiven. The office of the priesthood, it is come and confess their faults, confess their problems, confess their situations with Christ, and he will forgive them. Then you go to the priest, but this time you go to the pastor, the elders, even if you just come up for prayer. You come up for prayer and say, well, I have a problem. I have the 16th verse of James, the 5th chapter, in that 16th verse, to confess your transgression one to another. And pray one for another that you may be healed. That you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. A righteous person, a person that's following God's laws and rules and regulations and walking upright and keeping his statutes, availeth much. Very, very powerful, the struggles that the men of God go through, because it's not living for themselves. They're living to present people to God. And God has so fit that this person, he is capable. They are capable of walking that walk. They are capable. If he thought they was not capable, he would never call them. You ever thought about it? If God thought that person was not capable, there some have come and created problems and created things, situations because of lack of knowledge, because because of lack of knowledge, because of the wrong mentors, because there are some that are stuck in certain type of doctrine. They will not get the full counsel of God. But the church itself and the elders and the fivefold doctor, fivefold office of God is known to pray for the sick. They are known to pray and anoint with oil for the prayer of faith to save those that are lost, to bring people to Christ. So we have an unchangeable priesthood through Jesus Christ. And the church has gone through a lot. They will stand. If you'd like to call, 1-347-215-8816. You just press 1 on your phone, and we'd be glad to hear what you have to say pertaining to this topic. But the way we know the world, religious world, is changing. But Jesus wants us to get the truth. The Bible says we should know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. We have elders. You have elders in the church, and they are still growing. And the church is going through all type of tribulations. Some feel the church should have more numbers than they have. Some feel that the church is fading, and they should create a new type of dynamics to bring people. But you don't want to lose. You don't want to lose the principal foundation that God set up, the priesthood, through the elders, the office God had put into the mind of the church. The church has such a responsibility to bring people to God. He has set it such a responsibility. And the clergy of the church, the word is not biblical, but we use that word. We use the word. They examine that word and use that word. But the church itself through Jesus Christ, it is an office. There are five offices in the church, and they've all been used and will be used for people. The business of the church is generally, is active. Someone is constantly engaged in the effort of generating profit. But today, the business most likely refers to people or office or professional duties or function or occupation, to please things. But Jesus, they're always busy. Jesus said, I'll be back my Father's business. We're always busy. We're always doing something, for people, to create a situation to bring in people for Christ. Paul himself was a part of the pastor support, and we getting to the part where how the priest should be supported. They brought sacrifice, and the priest got a certain part of the offering that was given for his support. The church today also needs support. They need support. And God had made it so that, you can generally give a portion of what you have, and tithes and offerings is biblical. They gave it to the priests, the time of Moses, Aaron, all of them took tithes and they took offerings, tithes and offerings, for the support of the priesthood, for the needs and the cares of the priests during the Levites during that time. So the day and time, the man of God and the church itself does have to operate, because it is a business entity. We operate in an area where we need lights, water. The man of God present himself and those care themselves. Some work for their own. Some desire to work on their own. But the people have to understand, once they give to the ministry, they give into Christ. And once they give to Christ, they give into the ministry. They give into the work. And that's God's system. God came giving. He gave his life. Christ gave his life. And he didn't ask for no payment. He gave his life, but since he's been here 3.5 years, not only that, but God knows everything goes on. It's a part of your blessing. It's a part of your spiritual growth when you start giving, not only giving your life, but giving your support to Christ. It's very important we understand when we give our heart, we give our mind. And wherever your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And elders understand that because of the fact they know they're giving their life, they're giving their heart, and they're always helping and supporting people, the needy, the poor, the blind, the halt. That's what Jesus prayed for, the sick. And he wants us to go out to the highways and hedges and help the poor and the needy. He wants us to stand and help those, the widows, you know, the offering. The children today are going through so much, the young people. So they need a mediator. Amen. They need someone to stand for them and pray for them and talk for them, you know. And all these men have taken up the cross of God, and they have taken up the mind of God and understand they're about saving souls. If you notice a person is sick and hungry, you know, an elder just won't go there. One that really understand, he just wouldn't go to a person's house and talk to your people. If they know they're hungry, they need food, they need clothing, you know, because of the fact they understand that's what the enemy used to destroy mankind. Food, lack of food, lack of clothing, lack of encouragement, lack of prayer, lack of love, personal love, knowing the mind of Christ. When you start coming into the mind of Christ and understand what Jesus stood for and follow his teaching, you can understand why he fed 5,000, you know, with 2 loaves. You know, you can understand why God called out manna. You can understand because God knows that in the natural we need food. So when God blesses the men and women of God and the church ministry, you have to go out and show compassion. And show the compassion and love of God. God love. That love passes all understanding. Amen. We know that the world is evil. We know that people are caught up in evil thoughts and evil mind. Love, through love and kindness, God has drawn us. Right now, there are people now who do not accept the church, do not accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. They don't have no thought about him at all. But one day, before they leave this earth, they're going to hear the truth about Jesus loved them, Jesus cared for them. And they abandoned what they used to think about and accept Christ. He'll do the same thing for them like he did for his own people. Once you come in the body of Christ, you know, God still love. He's been love from Genesis to Revelation. The beginning of time, he's love, and he still is love. Right now when it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Right now when the fish start running in the sea, the unjust people catch the fish, bring it to the market. They feed the just as well as the unjust. You don't know where the food came off your table. It could have been an unjust man out there fishing the best way he know how. And you, one day you might run across that fisherman and say, you know what? God created this fish for all of us. You know, the God that created this fish, you say, wait a minute now, what? God never heard of God creating fish. Some people never heard the God we're talking about, the God of creation of all mankind. You know, the sun, the moon, the stars, the Milky Ways, the galaxies, you know. They had never heard of such God. They maybe thought there was a God because Romans 1 said God had planted in the hearts of men now, in their hearts of men now, about his wonders. But they see his handiwork. They see the trees. Everywhere they go to see trees, snow all over the world, you know, fish all over the world, birds all over the world. It's in man. It's in man. And they begin to wonder what God created all of this. You know, once they get out of the environment, when they begin to think about the end of life, they begin to ponder, was I really following the right God? I need somebody to stand me. Who's going to be there, you know, when it's time for me to leave? what kind of relationship I had. Was that God? I picked him up. I heard somebody talk about that God, but, you know, that organization that failed, those gods have closed down, and, you know, they're only in one part of the world. All they do is kill and shoot. I don't know what kind of God that is. I mean, I served him, but I don't know what kind of God that is. These thoughts begin to run through those people's minds. They begin to run through the mind that, you know, oh, okay, now, who am I really going to see? What am I, where am I really going if I need somebody to stand for me? Who's going to be standing for me? And the name going to come up, Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. That name going to come up. God going to bring it up. One day you have heard, the Bible say, if, you know, faith come by hearing. Hearing the word of God. You confess your sins. You confess your faults to Jesus Christ as a priesthood. And you say, well, I'm going to go to the church. If I can't find a church, I'm going to confess my sins to Christ. By hearing, maybe it's broadcast, maybe I hear somebody read somebody's word, but I know Jesus Christ will lead and guide me. And by hearing his word, that he died for us, he suffered for us, everything we're going through now, not only in this life, but in the life hereafter. That's what makes it so important. In the life hereafter, as well as his, as real as this life, but if you're at a point now, you're concerned about your life hereafter. You know, people have died in all kind of ways. If a man, the house collapsed, a sinkhole sucked the man under while he was sleeping. You cannot say, well, I'm going to live to be 100, then I'm going to decide to search out a God, and I'm going to take my time and find the right God. You might not have that time. Nobody knows what's happening today. You know, the climate is changing. The Bible says we're in the last days. You know, people want to be recognized for their lifestyle. You know, we recognize for their money. We recognize for their religion. But there's one God through all of these different changes that men and women come up to. He's still standing. And that's the Father of all creation through his Son, Jesus Christ. So you do. We do. We do have someone standing before us and standing with us. If you want to call, we have a little bit of time limit. Now we're about to go off the air. But you can call at 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. This is the Doctrine of Truth. Doctrine of Truth. And you can hear us and see us. We're also on Facebook. We're also on Facebook. And you can put up a link on Facebook, www.facebook.com/Jesus Christ International Ministries. We're on facebook.com/Jesus Christ International Ministries. Or you can subscribe through www.youtube.com/user/JCI Ministry. If you want to email us, or go to our website, website www.jciministries.org. Website www.jciministries.org. Or you can email it at seniorbishop@jciministries.org. jciministries.org. Always, we are happy to have you. You can always go to Blog Talk Radio and to come in and get this recording off of archives and subscribe there also, and you can buy the manuscripts there. But as well as you like to write, you can write at P.O. Box 25888 Tamarack, Tamarack, Florida. If you want to write, JCI Ministries, Doctrine of Truth, JCIM Doctrine of Truth, you'd like to write, P.O. Box 25888. Tamarack, Tamarac, Florida, 33320, USA. P.O. Box 25888, Tamarack, Florida, Tamarac, Florida, 33320, USA. God bless you. Continue to pray, and we'd like to close here with a prayer. But always, always happy to have you. If you're listening now on by phone, or cell phone, or tonight, or today, by computer, we always happen to hear from you and like to continue to have us to pray for us. We'll be on tomorrow from 1 to 2 o'clock, with a special guest, 1 to 2 o'clock tomorrow, Wednesday, we'll be on, but we will schedule that program. But at the same time, remember, God has put all power and all authority in his Son named Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember, the church is still a vehicle that will bring you up between God and man. In Jesus Christ, the church is in him. He is the church. He is the high priest of the church. He set the church in order, and he set offices in the church, put men and women that are called. And so it's so essential today that you kind of examine your area of faith and examine, are they following Christ, you know, in case you something should happen to your faith, your sickness, to your encouragement, that they will present you to Christ. Water baptism is still in order. Spiritual baptism is still in order. Your forgiveness of sin, eternal life, life after death. Jesus taught all of that. He's going to prepare a place for us in Jesus Christ, the full head, the Godhead, the whole ordinance of God is in Jesus Christ. And the church Jesus Christ set up, he is the church. He bought it with his own blood. He cared for us. He is our high priest. He is our high priest. He's a priesthood after the order of Melchizedek, a man without a father, without a mother, without the beginning of days. That's what got him in problem with the religious leaders back in the time of his walking here on earth. He told the Pharisees, say, before Abraham was, I am. And they all say, oh, this man said, before Abraham, ooh, he's saying he's over 400 years old or more. He must be saying he's a God, you know. But Jesus, he cares, he loves, and he a part of all of us. Through his love, regardless of who you are, whatever, love still powerful. Regardless, love is powerful. God is powerful. But through it all, God made it so simple. He made it so simple through the church. Consider the church today. Go and be a part of the faith and the doctrine and teaching of Jesus Christ, and you understand the truth. The Bible says you should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is Doctrine of Truth, your host, Bishop Poole. We're praying that God will accept you, which he always will, but you accepted him. Remember, God loves you and his Son as well. Always pray. Father, we thank you for his listeners. Look upon them, heal and deliver them. Oh God, whatever they're going through, let the peace rest on them today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. Have a Jesus-filled day. God bless you.